Hey gang, and welcome to the Meddling Kids Podcast, a groovy review of all things Scooby-Doo. I have a new favorite Scooby character. I'm Stephen Pappas.
And I'm recent smoker, Julie Kinn. Today we are talking about episode 13 of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Which Witch is Which? And by the way, kids, I don't actually smoke, but I just have this groovy voice for the next couple of episodes. Yeah. And who's your new favorite character?
His name is Greg. I've named him Greg.
Okay.
We haven't discussed him yet, but he's the first thing we see in the episode, so we'll get to him pretty soon.
Oh, Greg! Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Greg, you're with me.
I'm with you. Well, I just have to say, before we get into this episode, I had an amazing viewing experience that was completely new, and I hope to do this every time from now on, because David Ginsberg, he's the host of Tales of the Fandom podcast. He sent us some amazing figures of the Scooby cast, and I watched this episode and the next one with my kids, and with the vinyl figures that he sent. And my kids had the figurines acting out the scenes. So
that's adorable.
It was amazing. So thank you, David. By the way, we do have a P.O. box. If you go to our website, meddlingkidspod.com, just click on contact. You can see where to send us stuff. I'm not saying you have to be like David and send us awesome toys, although we won't turn them down. But if you want to send us mail, we'll write back. Anyway, thanks again, David.
I as well got vinyl figures from David. Who did you get? I got Shaggy and Fred.
Did you? I don't think you did. I thought you got Scooby and Fred.
No, I got Shaggy and Fred. I'm staring at them right now.
Okay.
Looking at those good pretty boys across my office.
I'll believe your eyeballs. I got Shaggy and Daphne, which was perfect. It was really great that the kids flipped out. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see a video of me explaining to my daughter that children devalue toys and they're not allowed to open the boxes. And
yes, I saw that.
I'm mostly kidding. Don't worry, everyone. I let my kids play with them too, but they are mommy's toys.
While we're throwing out thanks, I also want to say thanks to listener Vanessa, all the way from the UK, and her daughter, who sent us a set of straight up just like action figures of the whole Scooby gang.
Oh,
so there's the set of all of the gang, and I love it very much. It is sitting on my desk. I should probably offer to send it to you, the one who has children, but it is on my desk staring at me now. So if you would like that, you can have it.
This is the only toy that's keeping me alive and sane, and I love it, and it's on my desk. But Julie, if you want it so your kids can play with them and your dogs can chew them, you can have them.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Clearly, I'm in a new recording space now, everyone. And if you look around, I know you all can't look around. That'd be weird. But Julie, you can. And there are toys everywhere in this room, literally. Be it Star Wars or Destiny or Scooby-Doo or Batman or whatever. They're everywhere, and so I have lots of toys. So,
well, that is awesome. I'm guessing that there will be more Scooby toys in my kids' futures. So thank you. Ooh. You keep those ones for now, but we'll see. Okay,
yes.
On to the fun. In a spooky swamp. And I think some of this animation might be from a previous episode. Could it be that they reused the same artwork? Anyway, it looks vaguely familiar. Probably just because Athens, Georgia, where we presume this takes place.
You know, right, it's very swampy.
And there's just lots of great places. Okay, but all of a sudden, we see Greg. Is that right?
Greg.
He is a big, bald dude with pointy ears, green skin, and red eyes. So I have lots of theories about Greg, but would you like to start?
Well, no, I think my Greg love will evolve as the episode goes on. I kind of feel about Greg the way you felt about the guy I can't remember. Charlie, there you go.
Yep.
The robot from Foul Play and Funland.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Greg. Like, Greg seems to be just like a very misunderstood man. Until the end when you find out that he's a villain. But whatever.
Right. Yeah. No, let's skip that totally because I am right on the same page with you. Okay. I have so many feelings about Greg. Lots of them. Okay. First of all, when I saw the pointy ears, my first thought was, is he an older relative of Trekkie Uncle John from the Which Ape is Ape Man? That's not the name of the episode, but I'm sick. So, because, you know, pointy ears. But then my son was like, oh, it's a Voldemort guy. So he thought it was like some sort of... So through all my notes, I called him Voldemort because my son was sitting next to me and forced me to do that. Okay, not forced, but he wanted me to do that. But also, Greg was in he was standing in a boat rowing. And then I realized, no, he's on one of those paddleboard hipster kind of things, you know, like what rich people do. Well, okay, it's just a regular canoe, but he was standing in a canoe rowing. Doesn't make any sense. But here's the other thing about him. Have you ever seen Goonies?
No, I haven't actually.
Okay, that's all right. I'm not going to make fun of you for being a baby boy who was born
all my
after
friends have
Goonies.
Seen Goonies. It's not that. It's
all
just
my friends
I was a Sandlot person.
It's okay. Goonies is one of those movies that, like, for me as a kid in the 80s, thought was amazing. But I'm a little afraid to go back and watch it now because it's probably not as great as I remember it. But there is a character named Sloth who...
I know who you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. And, you know, if you go Google Sloth Goonies, you'll see it's pretty much the exact same dude. So...
See, I was thinking he was, like, not as creepy Nosferatu.
Oh...
Like a friendly Nosferatu.
Yeah. Right. And he's got like a little hunchback and stuff. Yeah, his face is not as deformed as Sloth's. But Sloth in Goonies ends up being like a really nice guy. He's just misunderstood because of his deformities. And
like
he's kept right. And he's kept isolated. And same thing with this guy. His mom keeps him away from other people. He just really wants some friends. Okay. I'm sorry. All those people who are like depending on us for plot recaps are going insane. So let's get into it. Okay. Anyway. So Greg is just rowing his boat. No big deal. Got a lantern. He's not doing anything wrong. Here comes the mystery machine driving through a swamp on a road. Fred said it's a new shortcut in a spooky swamp. And Shaggy is all like Velma is kind of passive aggressively like criticizing Fred by being like, Shaggy, why is Fred driving us this crazy weird way that is clearly going to get us killed by axe murderers? And
well,
Shaggy,
Is this finally the time where Fred is taking them to the swamp to hide their bodies? Like, this is what I was thinking. Is it finally happening?
That could be, because for like the rest of this scene, every time Fred says anything, it is in the least convincing, just total straight man. I forget. He's like, I don't know, but we're on our way home. Let's keep going. I mean, it's like he is. Don't talk to me. You could tell. Either he's going to kill them or this is, again, Fred as the dad at the end of a terrible vacation who is just like, I've had it. We spent way more time and money than I meant to, and I still haven't had a beer in 2 days kind of thing. Okay, sorry, all my dad vacation stories involve beer. Okay, it says a lot about me. Actually, my dad doesn't drink, so it says a lot about my imaginary family. Okay, so they see Greg in the middle of the road. His clothes are all torn up, and like I said, he looks like Sloth, especially now. Shaggy stops and says, excuse me, kind sir, do you have the way? It's pretty cute. And Greg just grunts, like he can't speak English because, you know, lack of socialization, maybe his deformities. He's clearly got some issues. He's not at all threatening, though. Shaggy calls him a zombie. Not
hateful.
Nice. And they run away. They drive away. And I'm thinking, well, this is certainly not a bad guy in costume because he wouldn't have known these kids were coming. This is like some random happenstance, circumstance. I have no English today because of my cold.
Well, Greg just like, they drove off and there was just like a freeze frame of Greg like watching them drive away. And like, I heard the sad Hulk music from the Incredible Hulk series in the 70s in my head. Like, I was like, oh no, Greg alone on a road by himself. Like,
Yeah, totally. Greg's like, friends? Oh, Greg and Charlie would make such a good couple.
Oh my gosh.
A couple
yes.
of friends. I didn't mean a romantic thing. Just, you know.
They could be romantic if they want.
They could be bro friends. Anyway, yeah, or romantic. I don't know. I think, well, they're both probably very strong. Anyway.
One is a robot, so.
One is a robot. We don't know how accurate Charlie is. We only saw him clothed. But he does have a very nice leotard. All right.
That's fair.
You should go back and listen to Foul Play in Funland if you missed that episode to find out what we're talking about. Okay. So I really don't like these kids running away from someone with deformities. That was not cool, kids. All right. The kids reach Swamp's End General Store.
Sure.
Sure. Why not? And Fred is glad to have found it. And I've got this in quotes because, again, least convincing delivery ever. He's like, oh, I'm glad we found this place. And there's lots of little shacks around this general store. And it looks kind of like a Hooverville, like one of those, I don't know what year that was, like 1930s.
Yeah, it's got like a very like shanty like vibe.
Yeah, shanty town.
Like, I was really surprised when Fred walked in and started buying tarps and rope and gasoline, and none of the other characters seemed alarmed. I didn't know what to think.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I can't tell if you're making that up or if that really happened.
No, I'm making that up.
Okay, okay. I thought so, but it wasn't positive. It's like, maybe I'm on a lot of exciting medicine right now. It involves codeine, and I'm not used to substances. Okay, so Velma, as they're walking in, she's like, I want to learn more about that zombie. But Daphne's all like a one percenter, and she looks at this shanty town, and she's like, yeah, well, this is the place to find out. And that's pretty much the theme of the rest of this episode, is like rich versus poor, that, oh, people in torn up clothes are bad and yucky, yucky, and we're right. Great. And yeah, of course he's a zombie and couldn't just be someone who needs some help. Anyway, sorry, I'm thinking about it from a very modern perspective, which is not fair. Okay, inside, the kids meet a big burly guy in a linen cap who says, oh yeah, I've seen the zombie and the old witch who brought him to life. And by the way, he is wearing a bright red pea coat and he looks smashing.
Yeah, his beard is pretty cool too. He's doing well. Is this Zeb or Zeke? There's two that they discuss.
Yes, we find out at the very end of the episode that his name is Zeke.
Okay, I thought they said me and Zeb were out, like,
yeah.
Whatever.
He introduces his partner is Zeb, but Zeke never introduces his own self until later.
Oops.
No, that's all right. Yeah. So this linen guy, Zeke, says about 6 months ago, he and his partner, Zeb, so now we know he's gay too, which is kind of cool that he's so out about it, because you would think in this kind of, frankly, backwoods isolated community, he might not be as forthcoming. Anyway, he and his partner, Zeb, went into the swamp to do some frog hunting.
Okay. And, pause.
Oh, you have a
frog
issue with
hunting.
That? Yes.
Anyone from the South,
yes,
will tell you that it's not called hunting frogs, it's called gigging frogs.
Dun dun dun.
So I'm confused now whether we're in Georgia anymore.
Wait. Are you saying that it might not be in Georgia because he used the wrong term, despite having an overly southern-ish western accent? Or are you indicating that the writers of this episode didn't know? You're saying that it's now canon that this episode might be occurring in a different place.
Yeah, they might be on vacation. That's what I'm
saying.
Okay.
All right. No, that's fair. So, yeah, it's definitely a cultural thing, but his accent, so maybe they're like in the West? Maybe like Western shanty town?
Western Athens, Georgia.
Maybe they say hunting frogs. I always thought it was catching frogs. I've never heard anyone say to go hunt a frog. You don't hunt a frog, you catch frogs.
Frog gigging, I think, is what it's called.
Frog gigging. Well, we see a dream sequence in this western swamp.
Right.
Because I still want to, his accent, frankly, that's what I'm saying. All right. So, you know what? And that fits with the shantytown Hooverville thing kind of too. Because the place is hardest hit. No, that would be Appalachia. Anyway, okay, listeners, tell us where frog hunting is. we see a dream sequence, and in it, they are like carrying pitchforks, and it looks super creepy. I've got a little screenshot of it. They look angry. Like in this dream sequence, these, maybe they are hunting frogs. They're not like catching them or getting them to eat, like we would assume. There are some mean frogs who done them wrong, like from right. the fierce looks on their face.
Well, if you attack a frog with a pitchfork, I mean, anything you want to eat is being destroyed.
Totally. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the frog legs are the choicest bits, but, you know, anyway, okay, I'll stop.
I'm not a big fan of frog legs, so.
Yeah. Well, you haven't had them cooked right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to weigh in on frog legs. I did have them as a kid. It's been at least 30 years. Okay. By the way, I've got warn Steven, you're going to ask him for dream sequence music written in my notes. I forgot to warn you. Do you have any dream sequence music you can break me off a piece of?
I'm thinking just like a
love it. Okay, we're in a dream sequence. Okay, so we see romantic outing between Zeb and Zeke. They're hiding in some bushes together to pounce on some frogs, and then they saw it. A witch in purple clothes with green skin, same skin hue as the zombie, by the way, which supports my premise that she is his mother. They in front of a super creepy house with human skulls as decoration all over the place. And she's standing over a fire and she says a rhyme that I didn't write down. And a zombie appears from the flame. And it's a really awesome trick. Of course, it's not a zombie. It's just her new beloved son, whom she keeps isolated and doesn't have any friends and he can't speak English. Poor guy. And it's Craig. And ever since then, no one has dared go into the swamp. Jed won't even leave his cabin. Oh, I think it's Jeb, but I wrote down Jed.
I think it's Zeb.
Oh.
So I think there's Zeb and Zeke.
You know what? You are totally right. Zeb won't even leave his cabin. Okay, now during all this exposition, dream sequence is over. So I guess it's...
I like how most people are listening right now going, all right, guys, we are almost 20 minutes into this episode and you're still dealing with exposition. What is happening?
Oh, gosh. Hey, we're making up for our last very short episode where I was like, I'm sick. Bye, Steven.
Julie's on those good drugs, guys. Let it happen.
I am. This is amazing. It's like all relaxing. Okay, anyway, I don't know. Have you guys ever tried drugs before?
It's cool. No.
I am taking medication as prescribed by a doctor. That is it. And coffee. So it's probably undoing it. Okay, drugs are bad. Anyway.
That's the official stance of the Meddling Kids podcast. Drugs are bad. Don't do them.
It's canon. All right. We're going to come out with a unique perspective. Don't do it. All right. During this exposition, Scooby is snacking because always during exposition, Scooby is like, I have ADHD. I need to go investigate. He's snacking from a jar of jelly beans, which are right next to a jar of jumping beans. Uh-oh.
Okay. What the hell are jumping beans?
I can't tell you. I'm kidding. Do you not know?
No, are those a thing?
Yes! Oh my gosh, you're so cute!
I don't understand, because I just wrote down jumping beans and a bunch of question marks.
Okay, jumping beans are Mexican jumping beans, and they are little beans that you buy in like roadside attractions and stuff. Like when you go to Sea Rock City, I guarantee you there is... canisters of jumping beans for sale. Any like roadside truck stop kind of place has these. They are little beans that are in a little canister, like a little vial. And if you watch them, they jump around because what's actually happening is they're dried beans that have bug larvae in them. And as they turn into like bugs, I guess. I don't remember what kind of bug it is. You could look it up on Wikipedia. They start like moving around as it tries to escape or whatever. And I think people synthesize them, not synthesize, like, I don't know, implant them somehow. I'm not sure. I mean, it's not something you'd want to eat, but it's just like a fun kind of thing to look at and it impresses kids. But if you swallow it, apparently, I did not know this, if you are a Great Dane, and kids, don't swallow Mexican jumping beans, but if you're a Great Dane, totally do it, because it's amazing. What happened to Scooby is he starts hopping all over the place, uncontrollably. So I'm looking at Steven's face while he is searching on Wikipedia for jumping beans, and the look of disgust is amazing. How do you feel, Steven? What'd you learn?
It's just... I don't... If the larva has adequate temperature conditions of moisture and temperature, it will live long enough to go into the pupal stage.
Yeah.
Seed pods that have been inhabited by the larva of a small moth.
Right. See, okay. Isn't that more fun than Tamagotchi or whatever kids of your generation played with?
No, it's not. Pokemon cards are way less disturbing than these jumping beans.
Oh, no, they are not. Pokemon are indentured, cute animals that have to fight each other till they pass out.
All right, we could get into Welcome to Pokemon talk.
Okay, anyway, Scooby accidentally crashes into a barrel. He gets hit on the head by a can, and poor little doggy probably needs to take a nap to sleep off that concussion, but right. Velma offers to clean up with a broom, which is kind of weird because it's just cans all over the place. Anyway, next scene, they go to Zeb Perkins's house. And I love that his last name is Perkins because my best friend, sister-in-law, her last name is Perkins. And I like to tease her all the time for being very country. So this just solidifies that. Anyway, Shaggy and Scooby go in to investigate. But it's empty, and it's covered in cobwebs. I don't know why I'm using the Zeke voice. Anyway, from inside, they see someone lurking outside. Scooby goes to investigate, and it's a chipmunk!
It's the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my gosh! What? Tell us about it.
No, he just, like, runs up to this chipmunk and, like, picks it up and, like, stares at it, and I'm like, is he gonna eat it? Is he going to growl at it? What's about to happen? And he just, like, gets all giddy. And I've never seen Scooby do this. I did it. But, no, he's just so excited.
He kisses him all over the place. Kissing it
and, like, running around like, Shaggy, look what I got. Like, it's weird. Like,
yeah. It's so cute. He's just smooching it all over the place. I mean, it's pretty much how you or I would react if we saw, like, a pint-sized Scooby-Doo. We would, like, pick him up and be like, look, hey, Julie, look what I got. And, like, kissing it all over the place. Oh, my gosh. The chipmunk is not as impressed with Scooby. But anyway. Yeah, I've got Scooby's gambling around. He is so happy. It's adorable. But as he goes inside, Greg slams the door shut. Because Greg is like, I play too? Okay, that's my Charlie voice. But anyway, the zombie's
but
like,
that's how Greg is.
Yeah, I think so. He's like, a doggy! I want to play! And it's a nice doggy! Okay, so they're inside, and then things get dark. So, Steven, if you need to, like, take a break while I describe this part, I totally get it.
No. It didn't creep me out as much as you think it did.
Okay, yeah. When I saw this, I just started cracking up so much. My kids were like, why? And I was like, because Steven is going to hate it. So on a bed, they find a voodoo doll. And there's lots of pins in it. And then we have a commercial break. And when we get back from the commercial break, things will get much, much
Hi, I'm Lainey, host of the new podcast, We're All Just Pretending. It's a podcast that has elements of Dear Abby with a twist of Post Secret. Every episode, I'll read listener questions and provide advice and insight as a friend. My own pod friends will even join in and offer their advice on parenting, relationships, and even give you really bad advice on purpose. Since we all have secrets to share, there'll also be a segment focusing on letting the skeletons out of your closet. If you're looking for advice or want to share a secret, head to allpretendingpod.com. And remember, we're all just pretending here.
Hey, I still have this awesome voice, everyone.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Okay, so can we just say that the writers of the show have no idea what voodoo is? Because, Like, earlier on, he's like, we saw a voodoo witch. And then she was like, Elphaba looking up there, like the Wicked Witch of the West, just like it, chanting over her pot. And I'm like, that's okay, that's not voodoo. That's not Wicca. Like, you're just being offensive to both of them by trying to refer to them as voodoo. And then, like,
good point.
Voodoo dolls. I'm like, that's not how voodoo dolls work. None of this is how voodoo works. And then my least favorite moment ever, because Shaggy is the dumbest. He thinks the voodoo doll is actually Zeb.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, it's Zeb, and, like, brings him out. And, like, Velma's like, no, that's just a voodoo doll. And I'm like, he had to have that explained to him?
Right, like, he thought it was a shrunken... Oh, wait, so on the bed is the voodoo doll of Zeb. Yeah. Maybe he thought it was, like, some sort of hate crime against gay people or something.
There's some really weird stuff in this episode.
Oh, I know. It's shocking. Who would have thought that a Scooby-Doo episode would get weird? But this one does. Okay, so all the kids are in the van after finding this voodoo doll of Zeb. And are they going home? Because they really should be. Nope. Fred announces they're going back to the swamp. Which is not a great idea, but all right, why not? Now, the witch and Greg are in the boat together, and Greg is still standing and rowing while his mom is sitting. And I'm wondering, what is their motive here? Because, like, they haven't really done anything wrong, I guess.
Right.
I mean, anyway, the kids use their own canoe to sneakily follow them, which is impossible whenever you have a Great Dane with you, by the way. There's lots of scary signs in the swamp, like, warning, your head's going to get chomped by an alligator. I mean, I don't remember the signs, but...
I don't remember any signs.
Oh, yeah, they were, like, all over the place. There was a sign on the wall. No, just kidding. Sorry. Old joke. There is a hissing alligator, and then all of a sudden, their spooky canoe disappears. So, I mean, the Greg and his mom's canoe disappears. So right. The kids are like, what? Where'd they go? Oh, but look, there's the witch's house. We recognize it from the dream sequence. And so they go into the house, break on in. So, of course, the only crimes being committed so far are by the Scooby Gang.
Right.
And they find voodoo dolls of themselves. Da, da, da. No, you're handling this just fine. I'm really impressed, Steven.
No, I think I was just more having that moment of like, okay, how does the mummy guy get a concrete version of Scooby so fast? How does the illusionist make Shaggy's head so fast? How do they make voodoo dolls of these kids so fast? Like, how do all of these villains just, like, have these kids' likenesses so quickly?
Okay, I will say this, that maybe Greg's mom is really good at arts and crafts because she could be one of those people who has, like, just tons of doll basics around and then just dresses them up accordingly. You know, I mean, it's okay. Possible. And there wasn't one of Scooby, which I was really relieved about, which I knew was kind of wrong. I'm like, okay, yeah, you can experiment whatever you want on the humans, but leave the dog alone.
Right, right.
Like
I felt the same way.
Yeah. In movies, I can handle violence against humans, but leave dogs out of it. It's the only spoiler alert I need. Okay. I've got a screenshot of it because they aren't like picture perfect voodoo dolls. It's not like in some of the other episodes where these are like detail perfect.
Right.
So I had to pause this and explain to my kids what voodoo dolls are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That took like 10 minutes, by the way, because they had a lot of questions. So Scooby picks up the Shaggy doll and tries to stab him with it. And I'm so glad I explained to my kids what this meant beforehand so they could understand all the humor. Anyway, it seems to work because Shaggy's like, oh! And my kids are like, what? It's so fun watching this with children, by the way. And they laugh at all the dumb parts, too, which is great. I love it. And every pun, my son's like, that's hilarious! Like, I don't know.
I guess at the dumb parts for very different reasons.
I think there's just joy in like being an old enough child where you get the joke and you're like, that's funny because I get it. I don't know. Maybe because like my younger child was like, what? And that makes it even funnier to you because you're like big and cool and 10 and understand the humor. Okay, so and Shaggy really is in pain in his back where Scooby stabbed him. But Velma says, no, you just bumped into this old fork you had sitting in your back pocket. And yeah. She pulls out this giant fork that's all twisted and bent and probably gave him tetanus. Anyway, so let's just maintain voodoo does not work this way, and these dolls certainly don't work. They're probably just there to intimidate the kids. Anyway, Greg's mom appears in a cloud of smoke, and she calls them meddlers, which is kind of cool. She says, I think you meddlers must be taught a lesson in witchcraft. Actually, I don't know if she uses that accent. Anyway, and then...
No, she's very much got the, like... I'll get you my pretty and your little dog too. Like she's got that voice.
True.
Like,
you know what? She does. She even quotes. She says something that the Wicked Witch says too, but I can't remember what it was. Anyway, I didn't write it down. Sorry. We'll have to watch it again.
She breaks into a powerful rendition of Defying Gravity. And it's wonderful. It's beautiful.
I don't know what that is.
It's a Wicked reference. Oh. Somebody out there gets it. Somebody understands my Broadway ways. Go on. Carry on. I'm oh my God, this parachute's a knapsack. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so she then makes Daphne disappear in smoke. Of course. Of course it's Daphne, I mean. So... Oh, yeah. Scooby and Shaggy are really scared by this, but Fred and Velma are just like, oh yeah, Daphne disappeared again. Maybe she's dead. Da, da, da. And they're just super chill and calm, looking around for clues. They're like, maybe we can save our friend. Maybe, I don't know. And then they look at the footprints and discover that it looks like she didn't just disappear. Her feet kind of like slid somehow. Good thing Daphne always steps in like coal or something wherever she goes, so she leaves tracks or tar or something. They discover a trap door in the floor. They go downstairs and find footprints. They're like, let's follow them. And now they're outside and not in a basement. And they find, and this is in quotes, an old derelict riverboat. It looks like the derelict boat in not the Mouseketeers. Oh my gosh, listeners, I'm so sorry. It's like the 1960s Disney animated cartoon about the Rescuers. Okay.
That's from 1990.
Is it really?
Oh, or somewhere around there.
Gosh. Golly gee willikers. Okay. So, all right. And... Did I mention codeine? All right.
You did.
I have a PhD for the record, so I'm allowed to be stupid at other times. It's like, you know, it's my pass for the rest of my life.
But I like cough syrup, Julie.
At one time in my life, I was really smart for like 6 years. And in the rest of my life, I can be like this. Okay. They notice in front of the boat, it's in front of this old derelict riverboat, is the spooky paddleboard boat that Greg and his mom had used. And one oar has a metal tip. And they make a huge deal out of this because it's super important. They get back to it later. And it's like, dudes, that was not so important. But anyway... I don't know. Okay, Shaggy and Scooby go investigating together, and Scooby has a problem because he's so scared that his teeth are chattering, and Shaggy wants him to fix it, so he has, like, Scooby tie up his snout with, like, a little scarf or something, and then because his teeth are stop chattering, his ears start chattering. It's really cute. They're like waving back and forth. I'm doing video for Steven right now, so just with my hands on top of my head like ears. Okay,
so she is. She looks like a very frightened deer.
Yeah, and so does Scooby. Actually, Scooby does look a lot like a deer. He's like a deer dog.
Okay. Sure.
Anyway, breaking news. All right. Inside the boat. They Oh, they're walking around. They see a big treasure box. Maybe there's treasure in it. Oh, no, it's not treasure box. It's just like a big box. They're like, let's open this box. Inside is Greg trying to take a nap, which is right. Like completely fortuitous. But Greg is like, hey, I'm sleeping. Oh, but let's play. And so then there's a big chase scene. Because remember, the only person Greg ever has contact with is possibly Zeb, but just his mom. And here's two other beings. Shaggy and Scooby want to escape. So they go into this fancy salon and they pretend to just be some dudes playing cards in fancy top hats that they found. And as they're playing cards, Greg gives Shaggy the card he needs, and Shaggy's really excited. And then he realizes, hey, wait, you're not playing with us. And more chase scenes, which I thought was just really, really cruel.
I was really sad about that because yeah. I was like, he gave you a full house.
Thank you. And he wanted to play.
He was helping you. Like, anybody who plays five card knows, looking at Shaggy's hand, like, what he did was the move you would want to do. And it worked out fortuitously that he would get a full house. And then Shaggy's just like, nah, I don't want any part of this. And then they just get up and run. And Greg's just like, friends? No? Okay.
Yeah, it sucks. Okay, Velma. I'm sorry for using the word. I try to get my kids out of that habit. Now I know where they get it. All right. Fred and Velma are calling for Daphne because that's how you find someone who's been kidnapped. And Velma opens a door in a crazy way. She's like, maybe if I yank on this lantern really hard, a secret passage will open. That's how it works in the movies and in the show, which I kind of liked. Anyway, she yanks it so hard, it doesn't open the door, but a whole series of crazy events happen based on her yanking that thing open and stuff flying, and a door does open. And under a sheet, they find Daphne all gagged and bound. Well, she's not actually gagged. She just has like a handkerchief over her mouth, but she couldn't talk until they removed it.
So yes. You're missing two very important things.
What?
One, the chain of events she sets off ends up sending a bar of soap flying that hits another lantern that knocks into an axe that opens the door. And she goes, it is like on the movies, or at least TV. Guess it was a soap opera. And I was like, ugh. All right.
So bad.
They go into the room. And here's where it gets real rough.
Uh-huh.
They go into the room. And they see Daphne tied up under a sheet, clearly Daphne, right?
Right.
And Velma goes, a ghost! And
oh, Velma.
Why every time somebody has a sheet on them, they're a ghost all of a sudden? I will never know. But Velma is just like, who's supposed to be our Scully, is just like, no, it's a ghost.
Yeah, maybe when Daphne is out of the picture, Velma like helpfully takes on that role. I don't know. It's not like, I mean, she was wearing her glass. Maybe she's wearing an old prescription. Like her vision was sort of dulled because remember everyone, when she can't see, her IQ drops.
I will not defend her on this, okay, especially because of her next comment when they free Velma and they're like, hey, did you see which way Big and Creepy went?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, call him Big and Creepy. One, that's mean. Two, that sounds like a Halloween version of a McDonald's burger. Like, don't call him that.
You're right.
They used to have a burger in the 90s called the Big and Tasty.
I was telling my husband, he likes to go by Olaf in my podcast, but his real name is Jason. I was telling him that they're a double down is a name of a really horrible sandwich from a fast food restaurant that KFC. Was like, okay, so it is a real thing.
Yeah, it's
right?
Bacon and cheese, but the bun is made of chicken.
Oh,
okay. Whoa.
Is there
first
also
off,
a hamburger there?
Have you tried it?
I haven't. Okay.
It's amazing.
Okay. Olaf, Jason, that's you. When you hear this episode, you'll know from a real expert that I was not making that up. That's a real thing.
No, you're not crazy. I'm probably crazy for eating it, but
not crazy, just short-lived. Well, I mean, not yeah, the sandwich. True. You. I mean, that's like a terrible thing for your health. But, you know, once in a while, I would say once every 6 months, probably not a terrible thing. Do they still have it or is that a short-lived thing?
I don't know. It might have been a short-lived thing, but I'm great. I'm having a major existential crisis now, so I'm going to sit back from the mic and think about my life. So you just go ahead.
Okay, fair, fair. Sorry, I didn't mean to come down on you so hard. I'm like Velma and Greg.
No, okay. It's okay.
Right. Let's see, back to, they also find lots of power tools, like, not power tools, like, powerful tools, like a winch, and I'm not exactly sure what that is, but I think it's like a, well, I know what it is, like a power thing that, like, brings up a metal rope that you could use to, like, tow trucks out of places and stuff, right? Like, people with Jeeps have them sometimes, so that you can rescue other Jeeps when you're off-roading. Is that correct?
Yes. And wait, why would you assume that I know that?
All my stereotypes about people who live in Matthews, North Carolina. No?
You're pinpointing exactly where I live now.
I'm so sorry. Oh, no. Was that a secret? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I don't actually live in Matthews, North Carolina anyway.
Okay.
So that's
all right. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. All the haters. Okay. All right. Then all of a sudden there's a cloud of smoke and it's Greg's mom again. And now she's flying, which is amazing because we didn't know she could fly. And maybe she is a ghost or witch. Witch ghost. No, a witch. And there's a chase scene. And the kids say, quick, down this coal chute, which we all thought was really funny. And it's even labeled coal chute, which my son got a big kick out of. Anyway, Shaggy and so I guess that's humorous to 10-year-olds. Shaggy and Scooby are being chased by Greg. They pretend to be Greg's mom now. And it's pretty cute because Greg is like, okay, I'll play this game. Like you could tell Greg knows it's not his mom, but he's like, sure, we can play dress up. What they do is Shaggy puts a mop on his head and a big purple blankie over him to be purple. And Scooby gets behind him. So they look like a Greg's mom horse, kind of. Like,
yeah.
You got, like, one big guy in the front, one mom.
It's like a witch centaur.
Yeah. Yeah, with a cute little tail at the back. And Greg's like, I'll play too. And he grabs Scooby's tail. And he really wants to play with the doggy. But Shaggy and Scooby want to get away. And Scooby's not really into having his tail held onto, which I get. Who would?
Right. My dog is not either. I do it to him all the time just to harass him.
That's not nice.
No, oh, no, I don't pull. I just like put my hand on it and like hold it for a second. And then he turns around and just like playfully nips at me and stuff. And then I do it again. And that's how we play. It's weird. He's a big dog. We play aggressively. We wrestle and stuff.
All right. That's cool. Okay. Just make sure you rub his tail in the right direction. Like, you know, you don't, if you're going to play with the dog's tail, never rub the wrong way. That'll like totally irritate them.
Oh yeah, no, I don't do that.
Okay, just check it. All right. Anyway, for the rest of this episode and I think the next one too, Scooby Snacks now have a new property where not only are they good bribery, they are like spinach to Popeye and give you super strength.
Right.
So Shaggy tosses Scooby a snack for strength and they're able to get away. Anyway, the witch or Greg's mom appears again and Shaggy and Greg's mom fight over her broom. But they get on the broom and Shaggy and Scooby can't actually fly. They try, but they fall into a boat off of the big boat. So they're in the water in their own boat. And the Fred and girls look out like a poke hole in the side of a boat. I forget what those are called.
Porthole?
Porthole! And they're like, hey, we're stuck. And Shaggy and Scooby are like, don't worry, we'll come rescue you. But then Fred and the girls think Shaggy was the witch.
It got real weird.
Okay, so those three fall into the boat too. Somehow.
Right.
Okay, so they fall in. They're in the boat. I don't know how that happened. And then, but I get it. So Shaggy is still dressed up like Greg's mom. And Fred and the girls think that's the witch who's stealing Scooby, and they beat him up for a while until
they're not so smart.
No, no one in this episode is smart. They were all taking cold medicine, I think. And so then they realize, oops, sorry, dude. And so they all take a cooler boat, which has, or maybe they were in the cool boat. It's got a motor anyway. And so they're in this great boat, but the witch is in the way. And Steven's laughing. So I don't know if like I missed something or what.
No, I'm just laughing at this whole thing.
And the witch is in the way, and she ends up on Shaggy. Ah, but it's just a balloon. Again, just like in our carnival.
Beatrice Circus episode.
Thank you. Yes. Because now it's canon that, oh, whenever you see a flying thing, don't worry, it's just a real lifelike balloon. Probably controlled remotely. Anyway, the boat crashes because they're all freaked out. And while it's crashing, it yanks up an armored car from under the water.
Well, and this, the boat's controls stop working.
Okay.
And so Scooby drops the anchor.
Oh!
Which is a terrible idea because that is extremely dangerous and would probably destroy the boat and kill them all. But he drops the anchor.
Okay.
And then the anchor latches onto an armored car.
Okay, I didn't catch that aspect of it. Yeah, and it's strong enough to pull up this armored car from under the water, and it's also full of bags of money. And we know it's money because it's labeled with dollar signs.
Right.
So they kind of figure, oh, this must be the whole point of this whole thing. So anyway, the kids are like, now we can use all this to lure the bad guys. And so they hang these bags in the forest or something. And the bad guys come looking. They're like, oh, look, there's the money.
Oh, and no. The exact thing that happens.
Okay.
Because I laughed for a solid few minutes and had to pause the episode. Was the witch comes up to them with like gangly, like greedy fingers and goes, money, 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 money. And I was just like all right.
And if,
I mean, yeah. I know that's what I do when I get a paycheck at work. I'm just kidding. I don't have a job.
So what she does, she is in for a surprise because inside the bag is Scooby and Shaggy's in another one. And I'm not sure who they say this to. I think maybe they say it to Greg, but I'm just going to pretend because it's nicer that they say it to Greg's mom. The best line ever. Shaggy says, here, double ugly, go buy yourself a new face, and dumps a bunch of money out.
Yeah, they say that to Greg, unfortunately.
Oh, never mind. Okay, that's not so great.
Poor Greg.
Yeah, we had to pause our viewing to just laugh at that for a while. That's a pretty good line. And I'm a little afraid my son's going to start saying that because that was a really funny thing. anyway, so the bad guys are stunned by this turn of events. That's not money. That's a dog and a human boy. And the rest of the plan is that Fred and Velma and Daphne are holding on to one of those rubber tree branches that we know are so ubiquitous in wherever this takes place, in their favorite swamps. And they've pulled the branch back so that it's prone to just snap forward. And they tell the dog and the human, duck! But Scooby doesn't duck fast enough. And Fred slams the bad guys and Scooby with a tree branch. And they all go flying, but Shaggy saves Scooby by using a fishing pole to snag Scooby back. And then the kids trap the bad guys in the armored car.
You referred to Shaggy and Scooby as the dog and the human.
Accurate.
It is accurate. You just said, Fred tells the dog and the human.
Oh my gosh. We're recording another episode right after this, right?
I mean, maybe.
It's gonna be, yeah, no, I want it. It's going to be amazing. Okay. All right. So we see the closing denouement where the police are there too. Denouement, right? See, I knew a word.
I don't know that word.
Oh, okay. That's after the climax in a book when you have like the wrap up at the end and things kind of slow down.
Okay.
It's like in Star Wars. Let me put it in terms you can understand.
Yes, please. In make Star, it nerdy.
In Star Wars Episode 4, the award ceremony is the denouement where we get the wrap up. It's still nice. Everyone wants to see it, but it's after the climax and we get to see how things wrap up.
Okay, but it's different from like an epilogue.
Right. It's not an epilogue.
Like
it's
that garbage epilogue in Harry Potter. Ooh. 19 years later. Nobody needs that. All right, continue. Come at me, internet. Please don't. I'm sensitive.
Direct all criticism to me for whatever Steven says.
Yeah, she can handle it. I can't.
All righty. Okay, so the police are very impressed with the kids, of course. We find out that Greg and his mom... So just stop the recording right now for a little while if you want. If you don't want to hear the... that Greg is actually somebody else, because I still like the idea of Greg being a sloth-like character like Charlie who just wanted friends.
Greg is just Greg. It's the end. Yay.
Greg is Greg, the end. Okay, for those who are still listening, it's actually Zeb and Zeke.
Only two characters in the town.
The only two characters in the town. They had hijacked this armored car many, many years ago, apparently, and sunk it. And are kind of stupid because they couldn't find where they had sunk it and lost it. So they wanted to get all the money out of it. And so they invented this zombie act to scare people away while they could look for it. And so that's why they had the metal-tipped oar, so that as they're boating around, they could poke in the water, because it would make a metal clanking sound when they found it. That's the only way you find an armored car. Anyway, the other questions, well, what about all the disappearing acts? Oh, it's just a smokescreen trick. And Velma shows us how and holds up a pill that, like, you throw and makes...
Yeah, it just looks like a paintball.
Yeah, exactly. It makes music and smoke appear. It's pretty cool. I want some of those. Kids look thrilled on their way home. Like, there's a scene of them in the car, and they are grinning from ear to ear. They are so thrilled here. Anyway, they're kind of sad that they never actually caught any fish on this trip. Scooby, although they could have made a good friend if they hadn't avoided Greg. Anyway, Scooby's in the back and he's fishing with his tail in a bucket and finally catches a fish in there. And they say, that's one fish story no one will believe. Adorbs. So this episode was funny and weird and a little sad at times. But overall, I still like... I don't know. Maybe it's better to think that it really was a bad guy so that there's not just this poor, sad sloth character going around without a friend.
Oh, but I love Greg.
Okay. All right. Greg is real. Greg is love. He'll find his own friend someday.
Okay.
Greg and Charlie are destined for each other. Maybe that happens in season two.
Okay. Just like the Greg and Charlie love story?
Yeah. Fan fiction. Here we come. Okay. Anyway, we do have a legit meddling question this week, not just one I'm making up like I tried to do last week and failed miserably. Ooh. Okay. Carson Thatcher is a very devoted listener. Thank you so much, Carson. He sends us really nice notes. Okay. Carson Thatcher.
I'll probably edit that out. Just for those of you who know, I'm laughing because... Julie literally just stopped the conversation and just like had a bronchitis moment and then just came right back into it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Back to I'm not a smoker. I have bronchitis and my bronchitis had a baby, sinusitis. So I'm extra sick now and it's great. And
I'm sorry. Was I not supposed to reveal that you had bronchitis?
No. I don't care. I just figure people Julia would be
strength.
Like gross.
Nothing takes her down.
I want to reduce the stigma about, illness. It's fine. There's too much bronchitis hate out there. Yeah. So my goal now is just avoid pneumonia. Anyway, Carson, thank you, Carson, for your patience. Carson Thatcher wants to know, do you guys have any Scooby merchandise? And in particular, he was interested in like plushies and toys and cool stuff, which no, we don't have any of that kind of cool stuff because it's all licensed. Sorry, Carson. But we do sell t-shirts and things like that. And also, if you want a sticker, you can send us an iTunes review or just share some of our posts and then send us an email letting us know you did it with your address. We'll send you a cool sticker for free. But if you're interested in Meddling Kids podcast, t-shirts, and other cool stuff, go to our website, meddlingkidspod.com, and you'll see a little link for t-shirts and things you don't really need but that are pretty cool. And it's got our logos on it, a few different versions. I will say the women's t-shirts are awesome. The fabric is really, really nice. But if you have breasts, I recommend ordering a couple sizes up. Just whoever made those t-shirts really likes a fitted look, which, you know, maybe some of our, okay, I don't want to judge. If you like a super fitted look too, awesome, you go for it and you be you. But if you're a woman who does not like super duper fitted, go up a couple sizes. I'll stop talking now.
Go up a couple sizes. Noted for my purchase. All right.
Okay. I don't know about the men's versions. I ordered my husband some of those, and they're pretty awesome, and I wear them when he accidentally puts them in my section of the closet, and I pretend I don't know. They're
well, based too. Upon my body type, I may need the same advice. So.
Well, you have broad shoulders, so yeah, it's good to...
Oh, my God. I hate... I could wear a medium shirt if it weren't for freaking my shoulders that like Hulk rip any medium shirt I try to put on me.
For an extended version of this conversation, tune into the most recent episode of Is This Adulting?
Which
when the boys give a really good reason why t-shirts need like better sizing. It's so yes. True. I was applauding that so much as someone who has quite a bit of issue with clothes in general. Okay. So anyway, if you guys have other ideas of merchandise you'd like us to try to provide, please let us know, or other giveaway stuff that you're interested in. We're all ears. I just had an image of us with Scooby-Doo ears.
I was thinking like I'm all shoulders.
Oh, I'm all boobs. No, I'm not. Oh, my God. I need to stop recording. Oh.
Nope, that's going in the show.
Jeepers. Olaf is going to not love that one. Oh, well, not his podcast. No, at least I've never said his real name.
People hashtag not his podcast.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Okay. Well, let's see. What do we do at this point? We did our meddling question. Oh, thanks again, Carson. If you've got a meddling question, you can email us at meddlingkidspod@gmail.com, or you can always tweet at us at meddlingkidspod or join us on Facebook.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us on this very exciting episode of the Meddling Kids Podcast. We also want to say thanks to Dave Sestay for the use of the song Night Surfing as our theme music. I dance every single time.
Oh my gosh, yes. Love it. I'm supposed to say a thing. Oh, yeah. Check out our other shows. Stephen and Chris are hilarious on Is This Adulting? They break down stigma against mental health issues. I was going to say against mental health. Never mind.
No,
it's great.
We're pro mental health.
Pro mental health. Right. Exactly. Thank you. So I study suicide prevention, by the way. I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned that before on this, and that's what most of my research is about if you Google me. A lot of my colleagues and I will just start talking about it as like, oh yeah, I study suicide, and it makes it sound like we study how to do it, not suicide prevention, because we get lazy and just forget to put the prevention word in there. So yes, they want to make people mentally healthy on their podcast, but it's also mostly about talking about t-shirt sizing and cereal and amazing things. It's a hilarious, wonderful, wonderful podcast. Usually I give a better description of it. Anyway, I'm on the Station Wagon podcast with my brother. He was going to record with me last night, but dumped me because I'm like this right now, and he wasn't dumb like Steven and willing to still record with a loopy inaudible Julie. Anyway, it's a good show about science and history. As soon, we'll be back with Go Away Ghost Ship. Oh, nope. No. Steven.
Nope. Next episode is actually episode 14, Spooky Space Kook.
Oh, no. I watched Go Away Ghost Ship.
Did you really?
I can't. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Well, this will not be a double recording session, y'all.
Oh my gosh. If you want to record later today, I will go watch it like super. Okay, we'll talk about that afterwards. Cheapers. I am not meant to be on these meds. This is not good. This is why, like, seriously, in college, I was the boringest person. I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. Nothing like that. Because... I can't handle it. Okay. In the meantime, I'm going to sober up. I'm going to drink some coffee. Hopefully, I'll get over this. So next time, I'll have a regular voice. Please rate us, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We have a whole bunch of new reviews, too, from really awesome people. Do you want to pause really quick while I get those or... Okay. All right. Let me review some of these reviews. Okay. I'm going to save one of these for next time. But first, from TLFE, I wrote, "This is better than Scooby Snacks," which I don't know about that, but thank you. TLFE said, "Scooby-Doo-tastic. Such thought-provoking, really, and hilarious discussions on an awesome topic. Is Fred a psychopath? Could Velma be Shaggy's mom? What's up with all the head injuries and the religious references? Whoop, new fave pod. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. That is heartwarming, seriously." And then Dave G, 7777, says, "This podcast is great. Hysterical commentary. Woo! On Scooby-Doo episodes, this podcast is massively entertaining for any Scooby-Doo fan. Plus, they make some brilliant observations. Seriously, is Fred a serial killer? Hey, hear that? We are hysterical and brilliant. It's canon because it's in print by people other than us and not just our parents." So, thank you so much. And we've got another awesome one, which we'll save for later. In case we do record again. Anyway, thank you so much. iTunes reviews are great. They help other people find us. Blah, blah. I'll stop talking.
No, it's fine. Yeah. With that, guys, I don't want to end this episode because Cough Syrup Julie is my new favorite person, but I think I'm probably going to have to, just because, you know, I could do this all day. But if you're a first time listener, hey, welcome. This has been a fun one. You're probably very confused. And so are we. So it's okay. That's going to do it for us here this week on the Meddling Kids podcast. And per usual, it's been busy. I've been all over the state this week. I've been making trips. I've been making arrangements. I've been doing a lot of work. Didn't have too much time to check in on all of you this week. A couple of you, Doug, if you're out there, I checked in on you and Jerry. And well, you know what? Let's throw a lady in there too, Alice. Oh, Alice, I was watching you, Alice, so I know what's up. Again, that thing you did, it's not okay. But I'm not gonna say anything. Just know you would have gotten away with it if it weren't for us meddling kids.
Go wash your hands so you don't get bronchitis.
Oh, yeah, for real. Don't get this.
Yeah.
Or do, and then go record a podcast.
Give me a call. I don't know why I said that. Please don't
Operators
call me.
Operators are standing by.
I don't want to talk to anyone ever again. But you can email me. Hi, everyone. I love you. Oh, God, I'm going to stop talking.